little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
Monica, thanks very much for agreeing to come and talk about your blood pressure today.
Okay.
What I'd like to talk about is to try and put into context your blood pressure control and how important that is for you for the future. Mm-hmm. But before we go any further, perhaps we could just give an idea for the listening public a little bit more about the history behind your blood pressure and where it has been and what brought you to see us in the first instance about that, if that's okay.
Going back quite a while, but just generally feeling not quite right. Just been a bit out of breath. I've had a few heart palpitations.
Mm-hmm. With all of this, we did some investigations for you. We found that your blood pressure on average was a little bit higher than it should be.
Yes, that's right.
And the top blood pressure, I think, if I remember rightly, was about 160, wasn't it?
Might have been a little average. Bit more than that.
But the rest of the investigations that we did were entirely reassuring. We listened to your heart, we did a heart tracing.
That's right.
We looked at the back of your eyes, we checked your urine.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a couple of blood tests, and we checked your cholesterol numbers, and we checked that your kidneys were working okay and everything. And all of those things were totally reassuring from other respects.
Yeah.
And we've ended up over a period of time of recording what your average blood pressure is over a period of time,
mm-hmm.
and found that it was still higher than it should be. And you came to a decision with us before that you felt that you'd like to address your blood pressure.
Mm, that's right.
So your blood pressure is much better controlled now.
Yeah.
How do you feel on that medication?
I feel fine. Mm-hmm. I don't have any side effects. It does seem to be working since it was increased. The dosage was increased quite recently.
Yeah, okay. So you're on what's called an ACE inhibitor, which is ramipril. I think you're currently taking 7.5 milligrams at the moment. And how does that make you feel in terms of the symptoms that you first came in to see us about? The breathlessness and the palpitations.
That they've ceased to
exist. So they seem to have settled as well, okay. We're going to talk about lifestyle again later, but perhaps if you could tell me a little bit more about the lifestyle that was leading up to you first presenting with your blood pressure.
Okay, yeah. So as you know, lifestyle, myself and my husband tend to like our drink.
Okay.
We drink more units per week than we should be. We do know we need to get a grip of this, so after this weekend when we go away for our birthdays, we are going to start cutting right down
because it
is important because we'll end up killing ourselves effectively if we're not careful.
Yeah, so that's been a concern to you, hasn't it?
Mm.
And you've linked that with your blood pressure,
I
think, as well.
Yeah.
Had you linked it with any other health concerns that you've got?
Losing some weight.
So?
Yeah.
And weight's been a concern to you because of?
I don't think it's very healthy, but I've struggled as well since I've hit the menopause weight-wise.
Yeah, okay. So you weren't happy with your weight because of your appearance or because of your blood pressure or because
everything,
of...
Everything, really.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Affected your confidence?
Yeah.
So weight was important from that point of view. So a few things that were linking together, really. So the blood pressure, the weight, and your confidence as well.
Yeah.
So all of these things were important to you.
Correct.
Okay. Can I just check? We're not needing to address the menopause today.
No.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but we could perhaps talk about that another time if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Gladly, you're not having any side effects with the new medication. You seem to be comfortable and happy to keep on taking that on a regular basis. It seems to be doing two things for you at the moment, which is controlling how you feel,
mm-hmm.
and it's also your blood pressure is coming nicely under control as well.
Yes.
With you being on that tablet, 1 in 10 people find that they have an irritating cough. That hasn't affected you at all.
It's more when I've been poorly with colds or flu, the irritating cough.
Okay, so that's not linked with the medication that you're taking. Good. Okay. So comfortable at the moment to carry on with that regular medication, at least for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
Some people also will find that if they lose a little bit of weight and their lifestyle changes, that they may well find that they don't need to be taking medication any longer as well.
That's what I'm hoping as well.
Now, I've got my own agenda about why I've asked you to come and talk to me today about blood pressure, and that's really just to try and help the general broader audience try and make rational decisions about what they do to help with their blood pressure and to help with the things that are linked with blood pressure. Could you just outline to me if there was anything that you had that you wanted to talk about today about blood pressure?
Nothing in particular to talk about. I know what I need to do to try and deal with it rather than just take the tablets.
Yeah.
Which is a lifestyle change. Yeah. Obviously, if you've got high blood pressure, it's not good for you, so you know you need to do something about it.
Yeah, okay.
Basically. I don't want to, not if I can help it, I don't want to continue having to take tablets all the time.
Okay.
If I can do that by cutting down on alcohol and having a better diet,
mm-hmm.
getting a bit more exercise, which I don't get much at the moment, I think that'll all help.
Yeah. So we have recently updated your weight and compared it with your height, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
And we've got because you're a tall lady, 180 centimetres, and weight-wise, you're about 90 kilos. So I'm just going to put that into the computer program here again and just come up with a body mass index, because that will put things into context for me as well,
yeah.
If that's okay. So your body mass index is about 28.
So it's high, isn't it?
Which, in a perfect world, we would be aiming for around about 25,
yeah.
I think, wouldn't we? So if you were able to lose a little bit of weight, that would probably be a positive thing. You've already highlighted that you think that a lot of your calories are coming from the alcohol.
Not much exercise.
And the lack of exercise mm-hmm. as well. So we're if maybe we can just focus briefly on the exercise side of things.
Mm.
You just tell me where you're at in terms of your activity levels.
Well, I work in a job where you sit down 5 hours a day, roughly.
Mm.
The most exercise I sort of get is taking the dog for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the odd workout from YouTube.
Yeah, okay.
Probably not enough, really.
Okay.
So
having a dog is a big thing, mm-hmm. and a lot of people that have dogs are much more active than other people. Do you mind me asking what sort of dog it is that you've got?
It's a little Westie.
Okay, so it's not a rangy, big, long-legged dog.
No.
So short walks are
about 20 minutes.
Yeah, okay. And it couldn't be too fast a walk, otherwise the Westie couldn't keep up. Or can't.
That's right.
Yeah. How old's the dog?
How old is he? That's 6.
Right, okay. So fit enough, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So what, have you got any concept of what you should be aiming for in terms of activity levels?
I would think, really, at least, ideally, in my mind anyway, at least 30 minutes, at least maybe 4 times a week.
Great. I mean, that sounds like does that sound doable to you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And has there been anything in the past that's been holding you back from achieving that?
Just lazy.
Okay. So how would you ensure that that laziness doesn't stay with you? Is there a way of you ensuring it happens?
Well, there is, because I know I need to lose weight and it's not going to just disappear without doing some exercise and having a decent diet and cutting down.
Yeah, okay.
Generally.
What have you used in the past to try and encourage you to be more active?
Well, just when you put some clothes on and they're too tight, you think, hang on a minute.
Okay. So that kind of reminds you that you need to do something about it. Okay.
Yeah.
Have you got any tools, or have you thought of any ways, or have any friends or colleagues suggested anything to you that might help you keep a tally of how active you are or encourage you to be active?
I don't really keep a tally, but I can start it, keeping a tally, making a record of what I'm actually doing.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm not very well at the minute, so exercise is not at the forefront, but when I feel better, yes.
Yeah. So while you've got your cold at the moment,
that's
not a priority for you.
No.
Okay. I'm going to make a couple of suggestions, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
Some people find that activity monitors on their smartphone or wearing one of these activity monitors around the wrist
mm-hmm.
can be quite helpful. So a Fitbit or something like that
right.
can be quite helpful for helping them keep a track of how active or otherwise they are. I gather that your husband and you are planning to do this as a team.
I think we do, yeah, so, both of us.
So you can bounce off each other in terms of ideas of how things are going to work for you in future.
Yeah.
That's a bit about the activity side of things. Mm-hmm. The other lifestyle side of things, what changes were you planning to make?
Eat more sensibly. I think the main thing is cut down on what we drink through the week, because we do drink too much.
Okay. Because that can make a big difference to your blood pressure and also to your weight as well, can't it? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm just going to give you some numbers, really, and I'm not sure whether I've highlighted these to you before, but apologies if I'm going over old ground. So you've already mentioned activity, and activity can make a significant difference to blood pressure. Of research that's been done on this, then 31% of people who have been more active and take more regular exercise will find that their blood pressure will come down by 10 points. So 10 millimetres of mercury. Yeah. That's just an appreciable reduction in blood pressure. And obviously has its knock-on health benefits. Mm-hmm. So there's definite evidence behind that side of things. And you also mentioned the alcohol intake. A high proportion, so about 30% of people who manage to reduce their intake by an appreciable amount, found that their blood pressure came down by that 10 points as well.
Right.
So again, similar level of evidence. So it's worthwhile looking at. A couple of other things that I've probably touched upon before, and I know I've given you a handout about this before, relate to other things that you can do lifestyle-wise. So a healthier diet. We've talked about options of what a healthier diet might look like to you before.
A Mediterranean diet.
So an example of that would be the Mediterranean diet. That's possibly the one that's got the best evidence behind it, but there are other versions as well.
There's so many, isn't there?
Yeah. So the low GI diet makes a lot of sense. And some people go for the 5-2 diet, particularly if they want to lose a little bit of weight. All of those, but particularly the Mediterranean diet, has got a lot of evidence behind it. And the evidence is that people changing over to a healthy diet brings their blood pressure down.
Yeah.
In 40% of people can reach that target of bringing their blood pressure down by 10 points.
Right.
So really good collection of evidence that works for lifestyle changes.
Yeah.
And even simple things about changes about specific things within your diet have a big impact as well. So 2 points that I'm just going to highlight now as well, if that's okay. So the first thing is that if you avoid taking normal table salt for cooking and eating and swap that over to a product called low salt, which contains more potassium in it. Potassium is a lot more healthy, so you can use that for cooking and eating. And there's evidence that that brings blood pressure down in 23% of people by that target of 10. Clearly, there are other people who will have an appreciable improvement, but not as much as 10 points of reduction in blood pressure. And another thing, a particular component in your diet is if you're having certain types of roughage and seeds. Flaxseed has got a lot of good evidence behind it.
Well, I've started taking flaxseeds.
Yeah. So taking 30 grams of flaxseed in your diet on a daily basis can also give results of bringing blood pressure back down by that 10 points in 30%.
Was you that recommended it to Barry?
Yeah. So good evidence that that's a healthy change as well. There's other things that are worthwhile just double-checking that you don't have, and I know that you don't have most of these, but I'll just, for completeness, go through those as well. So losing 5 kilos will make a big difference if you're overweight, so that may be the target that you want to be thinking about. Mm-hmm. But even just keeping your weight stable is so much better than what most people do, when most people find that their weight goes on year on year, it goes up a little bit. So if you can keep your weight stable, that's a worthwhile target to be aiming for. So don't lose heart with that. you don't have sleep apnea.
No.
And by sleep apnea, I mean that you stop breathing at night and that you suffer with daytime sleepiness. So you tend to fall asleep at funny situations, maybe even in traffic or when there's a quiet second, you tend to fall asleep.
No.
So people like that, they tend to be quite prone to snoring. They tend to have quite thick necks as well. So those are things that are worthwhile watching out for. And dealing with the sleep apnea side of things will obviously help blood pressure as well, and will help them cope with their quality of life as well.
Right.
So those are things that
don't
worthwhile.
Think I'll suffer from that.
Which is not you, which is not. But I'm trying to be comprehensive in what we're trying to talk about today. So I'm going to come back to you now, and we're going to talk about your risk, because your risk is relatively small. You were originally diagnosed with having high blood pressure, and you were having symptoms that were possibly related to blood pressure, or possibly they were related to lifestyle. It was difficult to be 100% certain about that. But you feel better, and you're happy with the blood pressure tablets.
Yeah.
So I think it's reasonable to carry on with them for you. But I want to just reevaluate for you where things are at in terms of your future risk, and is there anything else that you should be doing or could be doing that would help protect your heart in the future, if that's okay. So I've got a tool that I've shared with you before, and other people can look this up online by using what's called the Absolute Cardiovascular Risk Benefit Calculator, which is available online. I've also got it on my website as well, and they can download. You can download a copy of that from our website, and then print it out. But when you get to that tool, there are certain numbers that you need for it to be useful for you to help you to make a decision.
Okay.
So, Absolute Cardiovascular Risk Benefit Calculator, and it's available through chd.bestsciencemedicine.com. And you then download a copy of the risk calculator. And because we're in Britain, in the United Kingdom, we're using the Q-Risk data, which is based on our population. So it allows you to make decisions about your health based and compared with other people in our population.
Okay.
And the numbers that you will need for doing this, numbers that you already know, which is your age and your sex and your ethnic origin, and whether you're a smoker or whether or not you have diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
But the numbers that you're going to need to get from your healthcare provider, so your doctor or your nurse, or from your doctor's receptionist, is your average blood pressure. So your average top blood pressure is your systolic blood pressure. Yours is at 139 today.
Yeah.
So we're going to plug that into the computer program, and that will help us. You're already on blood pressure treatment. That's relevant too.
Yeah.
Your cholesterol numbers that have been done in the past are very good. Your cholesterol number is 4.2, and your healthy cholesterol number, your HDL cholesterol number, is 1.8. And also on top of that, we need to know whether you've got a significant family history of heart attacks. That would be if anybody had had a heart attack or angina before the age of 60, and nobody in your family has had that.
Mm-hmm.
But you also need to know, have you got chronic kidney disease? And most people are not entirely certain about that, but your doctor or your doctor's receptionist could tell you about this. Whether you have a rhythm problem with your heart called atrial fibrillation, which you don't, whether you have rheumatoid arthritis, all of these things are important to add into the calculations. So we've got your height, which is 180 centimetres. It's got to be in centimetres. And we've got your weight, which is 90 kilograms. And we've plugged all of that information into the computer program. Once we've done that, then what we come up with is we have to click on the middle button, which is the Q-Risk 2 button, and that will take us to the UK numbers. You put your age in, and you put all your information in there. So you put your current blood pressure, you put your gender, your ethnicity, whether or not you're a smoker, whether or not you suffer with diabetes, whether or not you're on blood pressure treatment. You put your cholesterol number in there, you put your healthy cholesterol number in there, whether or not you have a family history, whether or not you have kidney problems, whether or not you have a rhythm problem with your heart, atrial fibrillation, or rheumatoid arthritis. And you also need to put in centimetres and in kilograms your height and your weight. A bit ungainly putting in the numbers in here, but once you've deleted things and put in the numbers there, you should then come up with a number and also a picture. And that picture shows you 100 people. 100 women just like you, and it tries to predict the future for you. It tries to tell you, if we do nothing else for you at the moment, what are your risks? What are the chances that you're going to have either a heart attack, angina, or a stroke in the next 10 years ahead of us? And this is coming up with quite good numbers now for you. So on treatment, with your blood pressure being pretty well controlled, your risk of having a heart attack or stroke is 4% in the next 10 years. So quite good numbers.
Yeah.
But we might still want to explore whether there's any additional things that you could do that would protect you against heart attack or strokes. Yeah. Clearly, there's other benefits from having a healthy diet and feeling better about yourself.
Exercise.
And the exercise. All of those things have other knock-on benefits.
Yeah.
It's not just your heart that we're heart attack risk and your stroke risk that we're talking about. But just for illustration purposes, if we were to encourage you to do physical activity, and we've talked a little bit about this before, but this amounts to doing something on a regular basis, ideally for 30 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
But to be fair, a lot of people can't achieve that. And all I'm wanting to do is to encourage people to do what's realistic for them. So I would say that even just a little bit of activity, so raising your heart rate for 10 minutes a day, and doing something active that makes you maybe a little bit breathless,
mm-hmm.
is a good thing. Now, that could be swimming, it could be cycling, it could be fast walking. If you've got a dog walking, but briskly is going to be good. So you're going to try and raise your heart rate a little bit while you're doing it.
Okay.
And you might just about be able to carry out a conversation while you're doing it. Okay.
Right.
Some people like to track what they're doing with a Fitbit or with a mobile phone tracker of their activity levels, just to keep an eye on that, just for comparison's sake. But that gives you an immediate benefit, and it reduces your relative risk by 25%. Now, your risk is low, so all we're doing is we're saving one woman out of 100 in the next 10 years of having a heart attack or stroke.
Mm-hmm.
But if your risk was much higher,
if
it was, say, 20 or 30%, let's say 20%, then we bring your number down by 5. So we bring your risk down to 15% if your risk was high.
But right.
Good that your risk isn't particularly high.
Good.
So a worthwhile intervention. Because it's going to make you feel better as well. Okay, so we're going to compare that with going on to a healthier form of diet, and know that you've already started to look at your diet.
Yeah.
But this doesn't give you credit. It only gives you credit for one thing that you've changed. So we're going to compare, if we change you to a healthy diet, the benefit you get for that. And that's a 30% benefit. So using the Mediterranean diet will protect 30% of women over the course of the next 10 years from having that problem. So that brings your numbers down again to a similar number of 3% in the next 10 years.
Okay.
Other things that might help, is it worthwhile doing anything about your blood pressure in terms of medication at this point? Well, your blood pressure is reasonably well controlled at 139. We click on that button again. There is a relative benefit, but it's a small benefit for you. It's only 1%. So your absolute benefit of giving you an extra blood pressure tablet is very small. So that might not be something that we need to do, because there's a potential, if we give you another tablet, that you might get side effects with those tablets, which might...
I think by doing the exercise and stuff.
Exactly. So that seems like a healthier way of going about it, doesn't it? And that's got long-term benefits.
Yeah.
We're also going to talk about statins for you as well, if that's okay. I don't know if we've talked about statins for you before.
So.
Because your risk of heart attacks or strokes is relatively low, I've not raised this before, but I'll raise it today. So if we gave you a statin, again, there would be a relative benefit. If we gave you a high intensity statin, that would reduce your relative risk by 35%.
Right.
But that's a tablet an extra tablet that you've got to take for 10 years to get that benefit. And 1 in 10 people like you taking a high intensity statin will have significant side effects.
Right.
Mostly just aching muscles, to be fair. Most people don't get any other problems apart from that. But that would be in the high intensity statin. If we gave you a low intensity statin to a low dose statin, the benefit's a little bit less, so 25%. Relative risk reduction, but absolute risk reduction would be, in your case, just one person. So going back again to the high intensity statins, a relative risk reduction of 35% gives you an absolute benefit of 1.5 people over 10 years. But that, again, might be something that you're not keen on. And the government is encouraging me to offer everybody who's got a risk of 10% or higher in the next 10 years a statin. But if I gave everybody a statin who had a 10% risk, we'd only be benefiting 2.5 people out of those 100 that took it for 10 years.
Yes.
Okay, in terms of the risk of heart attack stroke, which isn't enormous when there's lifestyle things that you could do rather than taking an extra tablet. So I don't sell it very hard, but I would encourage somebody who's, say, had a risk of 20% or 30%, that they've got much more to gain by taking a statin for that period of time. Now, there's a lot in the press about statins, a lot of good publicity, a lot of bad publicity. Realistically, the majority of people find that statins work well for them, that they don't have significant side effects for the majority of people. And we're not even sure whether they do cause muscle soreness or not. But I say to people, if they get muscle soreness and they're keen to use a statin, then let's lower the dose. So oftentimes it's worthwhile going for a lower dose and making sure that you tolerate it better. So we talked a bit about the statins. We're going to talk about other things as well. Now, fortunately, you're not a smoker. If you were a smoker, there's incontrovertible evidence that stopping smoking protects your heart, and it does more for protecting your heart than anything else does that I've already listed.
Right.
So your relative benefit would be 50% risk reduction. So if your risk is 4%, then we halve it. So worthwhile doing if you were a smoker, but you're not. We've also looked for whether or not you've got symptoms of diabetes. You don't. We've also checked at some stage to make sure that you don't have diabetes with your blood test.
Yes.
We did an average blood sugar test, and that was very reassuring. But if you had a high blood sugar, or if you had diabetes, then it might be worthwhile adding in a tablet called metformin. Again, metformin is very protective against heart attacks and strokes for people over high blood sugars. So either people with diabetes or heading towards diabetes, because it helps them metabolically, brings their glucose numbers down. But ultimately, the thing that it does more than anything else, it protects them from heart attacks or strokes.
Right.
So it's a healthy tablet for people that are at risk, but that doesn't include you.
That's
right. So that's not for you. We've gone through quite a bit about the evidence generally and the evidence for you. Having listened to that evidence, could you just tell me a little bit more about where you're at with your decision making?
I think it's come to a point now where I definitely want to lose some weight.
Yeah.
Okay. Need to start doing something about it. And what we've confirmed today, which is a combination of exercise, lowering the alcohol.
Yeah.
I've got a fairly okay diet, but it could be better. So I'm looking at the diet as well. So I think we'll start that maybe from next week.
Yeah.
We'll come back off our little break.
Yeah, okay. Would it be helpful at this stage for me to ask you to give me a call in 3 months' time to let me know how you're getting on with this program?
Yes.
Would that be useful? I mean, I know we see each other every now and then anyway, and we could wait until then. But if you've not got an appointment to see me, or if you're not planning to see me, maybe you could give me a call about you and your husband and just say, look, this is where we're at with that.
Yeah.
And then just give me a rundown of where your weight is, where your alcohol intake is, because I think that we highlighted that as being the most important thing.
Yes.
I gather you've already started to make changes, significant changes to your diet. There is, for other people listening, also an audio podcast which goes through weight options, so options for people that are considering wanting to reduce their weight.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be worthwhile accessing for other people and potentially for yourself if you've not already listened. I'm going to draw a line under this particular discussion now. But before I do so, is there anything else that you want to add?
Don't think so.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusing.